With me as we continue in our series through the book of Luke. We'll look at Luke, the 8th chapter, the 1st to the 18th verses. Luke 8, 1 through 18. Sermon title is The Impact of Jesus on Life. The Impact of Jesus on Life. Luke 8, 1 through 18. We'll read these words. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, but putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. When we read about the ministry of Jesus, one of the things that I believe cannot be disputed at all is the impact that he had on different kinds of people. And it produced different kinds of results in those people. And also had different kinds of responses from those people. Now, if you consider all these things from a human standard, we'd have to say that this is really astounding for a country preacher. I mean, Jesus, in essence, if you look at him in the context of the preaching or the teaching community of that day, he was just right out of the woods. Jesus didn't go to the schools of the rabbis. He didn't have the education that some people would have thought was necessary. Now, he would have sat at home and heard the truth of the Word of God presented. He would have gone to the synagogue and he would have gone to the temple on the very special feast days, but he didn't do the things that the high quality rabbis did. And yet, when we look at the preaching and the life of Jesus, we quickly realize that he had far more impact upon the world than all of the other rabbis and teachers of that day combined. I mean, we still talk about Jesus, and he's well known throughout the world, but Very few people know about the rabbis of that day. Now, you may be unique person that studies those, that particular time of life or the setting of the world of that day and know about some of them, but that's a very unique and very few and far between. But you can go to almost any corner of the world and you can hear somebody talk to you about Jesus. We'll be in, Lord willing, in Ecuador next week, and we will be hearing people there talk about Jesus. We'll go to the Church of God that's in Quito, and I don't know where else we're going to go, but we will be in that portion of the world. Now, I don't know if you've been to Ecuador. I would venture to say there's just three or four of you in this room that have. I don't know if it's the vacation spot of the world, you can go there and hear people talk about Jesus. Go to Haiti and hear people talk about Jesus. Go to Canada. Go to anywhere in the South America other than Ecuador. And you can go to Europe and Africa. You can go to China and you hear people talk about Jesus. He had great impact upon mankind. And yet one of the most astounding things is that somebody who has had this kind of impact, who walked on this earth, who we say is God, it's also astounding that people would disregard him. Now, that seems to me the more amazing thing. Now, as you read through the book of Luke, if you pay any attention at all to what takes place, you'll readily see that Jesus walked among people, paid attention to them, paid attention to their needs. He would be going through a crowd and somebody would call his name and he would stop. And he'd say, "What do you want?" And they'd say, "Well, I'm blind." He says, "Well, you want to be healed? You want to receive your sight?" And they would say yes, and healing would take place. He went through the crowds. We saw him at the city of Nain as he walked through the crowd there that day. We saw him at different places as he walked among people, and he always impacted people. Now, it seems that by the time when Jesus left or went through a crowd, there had been changes, amazing changes sometimes. Sometimes people were healed, other times people were angry. Isn't that a funny thing? By the way, when you live your life, you will find that's true for you. You will think you're doing everything right and all of a sudden somebody will be angry at you. You'll be going along and there'll be a lot of people that will lift you up and there'll be some people who won't. And so Jesus goes to this crowd and there's all kinds of reactions. Sometimes people wanted to follow him. And the different people had different kinds of response. Now, is there any wonder that the question of who Jesus is seems to have been addressed back then and is still being addressed? Who is this guy that he could do this? Who is he that his impact upon the world was so amazing? Well, in this particular scripture, there's some points I'd like to just call your attention to and ask you to consider with me. Now, let's look at Jesus as he impacts different kinds of people. And you can see that some of that through verses 1 through 3. When we look at the disciples who followed Jesus, we see the impact of the men who were with him. We understand that he called 12 apostles. They walked with him. They spent time with him. They observed him. There were crowds that were there. But in this particular account, we're shown some of the women who were participants in his ministry. Now, I think this is very important for us to get. Because you see, the society they lived in was a male-dominated society. Gals, you may not like it, but in the world of almost 2,000 years ago, as a general rule, in that world, the entire world of that day, women weren't valued as much as we think they ought to be today. Women weren't allowed to do certain things. Women were restricted. If you want to see an equivalent of that, go to some of the fundamentalist a Muslim world, and you will observe some of the same traits being practiced today. And so Jesus is working with this group of women, or this group of women is working with him, and at the very least, they help finance his ministry. Oftentimes in the life of congregations, we find that the women are more predominant in making things happen than men. Isn't that amazing? Guys, that might say something about us, and ladies, that does say something about you. But that's what was taking place here. And it wasn't unusual for women in that day to help a rabbi as he would go about in ministry. See, they'd help him have the necessities of life as he would study and teach the word. And these particular women left everything that was normal for them to help here. They left their norm. They stepped out in a world that was really antagonistic toward them, and yet they became participants in the ministry of Jesus. Now, that's a very great lesson for us to remember. The people that society oftentimes attempts to keep from doing things are the ones who will invest themselves greatly into doing them. See, I don't know, maybe it's simply because somebody says, I know God wants me to do this, and even if the world tells me not to do it, I'm still going to do it. Maybe that's the kind of attitude people have to have, and this appears to be the kind of attitude these women had. They could have sat back and declared that they were women, and that their world wasn't accepting of anything they did, and so they weren't going to do anything. And they would have been normal. They would have fit the normal picture of what a woman would do as far as ministry would take place. Well, I'd like to hopefully refer back to that thought again in a few moments, but there's real diversity, a real diversity of people that we see here. Not only do we see the male-female difference in those who participated, there are some other factors that really stand out. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom were seven devils. All right, went seven devils. Now, that's kind of a designation for somebody, isn't it? Just suppose I introduced one of you. Folks, here's Brian Trantham, out of whom went seven devils. And Kim says amen. Yeah. But you know, that's not, how would you like to be known like that? Now, by the way, Mary Magdalene is mentioned 14 times by name in the scriptures. 14 times by name. I'm not for sure about this, but it seems to me that she's mentioned more than some of the apostles. Now, I don't know if it's because of her proximity to ministry. I don't understand all that. But one man said, one of the most notable things you say about her is that she was there. She was there. Boy, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to be known as somebody who was there? And the world falls apart. You're involved in a group of people that helps the world come back together, and you were there. You were there. You were one of them. You might have had a small role, a big role, but you were one of them. And the entire world will sit back and look at you and say, man, there's somebody that is absolutely amazing. And look at the kind of woman she is. Some people believe she was a prostitute. They really don't know that for sure. They just know that she had seven devils in her. Now, I've met a few people like that. Yeah. I don't know if it might have been more. I'm not for sure. But was she difficult? Was she mean? Was she domineering? I don't know what kind of woman she was. But friends, she was there. Now, keep that thought in mind. Then you go on and read about Joanna. She's the wife of Herod Stewart. Yeah. And here's a woman who has political connection. Now, I tell you the truth. Anybody that's married knows that their spouse has influence on everything they do. And so here's this guy, he's Herod's steward, he takes care of something to do with Herod's possessions, and no doubt he has contact with Herod on a pretty frequent basis, and here's this woman that has this kind of connection. And she sees Jesus somewhere. We're not told the circumstances of how she came to this place, but somewhere in her life, she saw Jesus and she believed him and she invested herself into ministry. Folks, that's the picture of most of us. You know that. Most people that come to Christ, most of us will not be known throughout the world. I go to a lot of places and people say, I don't know you. I say, well, there's no reason you should know me. You can go all over the world and there'll be many places where, most of the places probably, where people will not know who you are. When we walk down the streets in Quito, Ecuador, I guarantee you there'll be very few people who will know who I am. There'll be one person who I'll be very closely attentive to, that my wife already told me I had to. My daughter's going, so I've got to watch out for her. She doesn't care if I come back, but my daughter better come back. And if I come back without her, that's it. Life's over. It's bad news. But you see, we oftentimes are not known through the world, but here is another woman that was there. She was there. Now note the difference in these two women that we've already looked at. One of them, out of whom came seven devils, and one of them's husband is the steward of Herod. And so one of them has high political connections, and the other one, a very questionable lifestyle. I believe that says something very clearly to us. It matters not who you are. It matters not where you come from. God can take you and use you. Doesn't matter what your background's like. It doesn't matter if you've been good or bad. Doesn't matter if you're smart or not smart. Doesn't matter if you're educated or non-educated. It doesn't matter about any of those issues. God can use you. And note the relationship. They're mentioned in the same sentence. These women are bumping into each other wherever they turn. And you never read about any problems that they had. Two people from such diverse backgrounds, and yet they are there in the ministry of Jesus. And finally, there's another mention, a woman mentioned, that's Susanna, of which virtually nothing is known about her other than the fact that she ministered to Jesus. She just ministered to Jesus. Again, many of us will be known in heaven by the fact that we ministered to Jesus. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute, you got our times wrong. We weren't there when Jesus, you got it wrong. Inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's the words of Jesus. So as you minister to each other and to the community and to people who you see at different places, note this, you are giving ministry to Jesus. And one day, that will be noted. I don't know how God records everything. We talk about the Lamb's Book of Life, where a person's name is recorded in heaven. And we read the scriptures where we see where God knows, and Brother Dell mentioned that, where God knows every hair of the head that falls. He knows where you are. His eye is on the sparrow. Those are truths that we know to be real and we know to be true. And so He sees us at every point, every place. He knows everything about us. And one day, while the world knows nothing about us, we will walk down the streets of heaven and you will be known as you are known. You'll walk down the streets of heaven and somebody will say, oh, you were one of the servants, weren't you? You served the master, did you not? You were there, weren't you? And you and I will be able to say yes. Yes. See, here is the picture of the impact of Jesus upon people. It's amazing. He has impact upon women and men, rich and poor, people of questionable backgrounds, as well as people who are related to the political powers of the day. People of all sorts, not just one kind, not just the wealthy, and not just the educated, and not just the people of influence, but the poor and the ordinary worker, the average man or woman of that day. Good and bad, nice and not so nice, religious and not so religious. Jesus impacted all kinds of people. All kinds of people. Friend, you and I do not have to be left out of that. The neighbor you have that is rotten, no good, he or she does not have to be left out of that. The son or daughter you have that has not paid attention to the message of Christ yet, they do not have to be left out of it. The person down the road that lives a horrendous lifestyle, they do not have to be left out of it. It does not matter who you are. The neighbor that is a wonderful, good person does not have to be left out of it. All kinds of people. Well, there are different kinds of results. You see that 5 through 15. And we're exposed to the truth that in the different kinds of people, there are always different kinds of results. Now, the same gospel is presented. Now, I understand that. It's the same gospel. It's the same seed, if you would. Some years ago, I was in Illinois, and this was had to be in the 80s. 1980s, not 1880s, the 1980s, and Morris Berquist. Anybody remember the name Morris Berquist, Church of God preacher? Yeah. A few of you know him. He wrote a book on David, on the blessings that are received, and I believe it was on the Psalms, not on David himself, but on the Psalms. And he was preaching in the state camp meeting in Decatur, Illinois. And I remember that sermon. And if I remember it correctly, he preached it out of 1 Corinthians 1:23. It said, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness." And this is a statement he made in a sermon. He said, "The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay." Now that phrase impacted. I watched this morning. Those of you that weren't here early, you didn't get to see this, but Scott Foshi took the candles. Carolyn Hartman gave direction that they needed to be trimmed off, and he took these candles out, and that's before the flame was lit, of course. Took him out and he took a knife and he trimmed him. Matter of fact, Robert Crum gave him direction on where to find a knife to cut with. And I saw him out sitting out here in the hallway before services started, during Sunday school actually, and he was sitting there over a trash can cutting away, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, it looks pretty straight and everything. I didn't get it all the way down or else it's melted further, but that heat has melted that candle. The candle has such softness, or the way it's made up, it's able to melt. Now, if you take that same heat and apply it to clay, it dries it out and hardens it. Friend, you can take the gospel and give it to some people, and for whatever reason, their heart is hardened. Whereas the person standing next to them can hear the same message and their heart is softened. The gospel produces different kinds of results in the life of people. I do not know why. It may be the person. It may be the circumstance. I don't know. I cannot tell you. But I do know that the gospel is able to save people. Now, he goes through this process of talking about the seed. And you should understand that it's the same seed, the Word of God, that he's talking about. And he gives that seed to each person, but the way it impacts each one is completely different. Some of them simply hear the Word, but refuse to let it take root in their lives. Now, the way Jesus puts it is that the devil comes along and takes the seed away from them. Some people do not get this, and I need to preach this piece of it on Sunday morning, and maybe one of these days I will. They don't understand the psychological impact of what happens when somebody gets up during altar call and goes out. Now, I worked in Luis Palau campaign. He's the Billy Graham of South America. At least he was, and I don't know if he still is, but many years ago he came into the Peoria area and they had a big campaign like a Billy Graham campaign. And they trained a bunch of us to be counselors at the altar with people. And this is what they said. They said, when they give the altar call, don't wait for anybody. You get up and come on. You get up and come on. Now you can view this any way you want to. The impact of seeing people move forward causes people who are on the edge of making decision oftentimes to move forward with them. They see somebody else going. But to watch them walk out also impacts them. Yeah. You know, I'm studying about how I'm going to say this next piece. You know, I want to be really nice about it. I understand, folks, my age, I understand that need to go to the bathroom. Okay? I get that. I get that. That's my favorite room in any place I go to, anymore. The older you get, that's it. I mean, that's just life. And, I find out where they're at. I want to be able to find one quick. You know, that's just the way it goes. Now, you just live long enough, you'll understand. I understand that. So if that issue comes up while they're praying, when I stand up here and complete the sermon and pray, that's the time to get up and go. What's the matter, Safra? That's the time to leave. Leave. I missed that one. Okay. You have to straighten up now. That's the time to leave. And if you have to go, I mean, I understand. If you got, you know, if you're afraid the Baptists are going to beat you to fats, go ahead. Do it during that time, though, because the impact of that. But you see, here are people that hear the Word and they allow the things that happen around them to pull the Word out. And folks, they're lost sometimes forever. Forever. And then he goes on, he talks about others that hear the Word and it takes root, but it's like a seed that grows on a layer of dirt that has a rock underneath of it. It'll grow for a moment, but when the sun comes, when there's temptation or difficulty, it withers away. And then Jesus talks about how the seed or the Word sown among the thorns, the person who hears it, likes it, wants it to grow, but they have so much to do and so many other things. You know, it's important to go on vacation. I just went. It's important to do some of those things. And I know if you have property down on the lake, you got to go use it. I know that. You buy a motorcycle, you got to take a ride on it. didn't know Sunday was the only day you were allowed to do it. That's just me, you know. And so you have all, and pretty soon, all of these things chokes the Word of God out. And finally, shows us the results of the person who has good soil and how the Word grows and produces fruit. And he talks about 30 and 60 and 100 fold. But still yet they will all produce fruit. Now that's the difference, different results that is achieved in every life when the Word of God falls on that life. You see somebody come into our building and they sit in our services and they hear the Word of God. And some of, by the way, some of them hear and never hear. Do you recall him saying something along that line there? They hear and don't hear. They don't want to hear. They aren't going to hear. They've done everything in their life to knock it off, to close it out, to shut it away. And they refuse to hear. And folks, three out of the four that he mentions here lose out on the wonders of God in their life. But, there are some who want the seed of God to grow in their life. That's the different kind of results that comes. See, these different kinds of results, though, they impact people in an amazing fashion. The results determines not only their eternity, but their present. Do you realize that the result of how you take God's Word impacts your children? Mom and Dad, do you understand that? What you do with God's Word is vital about, see, it don't just impact your eternity. It impacts your present. It impacts your children, your grandchildren. We got to see our, two of our granddaughters, Jordan and Alexis. Oh, those girls, they started back to school. One of them started back on the 29th of July. Why does anybody start school on the 29th of July? Those people up north can't get it right, I tell you. Yeah. And they give them time off when there's snow on the ground. What do you do when there's snow on the ground? Nothing. I stay in if I can. But we got to see them, and Jordan, she was going to school early for something. I don't know what it was. And James had told me, he said, Dad, said Jordan wants you to take her to school. I said, well, that's great. I'd love to. And Michelle said, well, she says, she what was it? She leaves at 6:35. I'm on vacation. Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to get up at 6:35 on vacation unless you're hunting? Or maybe fishing, you know. Yeah. And I said, sure, no problem. So at 6:15, Ruth set her phone to ring. I can't do that. I haven't figured it out yet. And I don't really need to. Ruth knows how. It's an economy of life, you know. And so she sets the alarm 6:15. It goes off. I stagger out of bed and get upstairs. I put my ball cap on, put my clothes on, brush my teeth and leave, you know, and go upstairs and Jordan comes out and, I get to take her to school. See, I get to take her to school. And then I picked her up at school. And I got to do that with Alexis. And I want to impact my grandchildren with the love I have for them. But even more than that, I want to impact them with the gospel message of Jesus. I want them to see Grandpa that wasn't complaining and griping about everything in life. I want them to see Grandpa that loved Jesus, that went to church. I want them to see Grandpa that lived for Jesus in his life. Because you see, it's not just impacting my eternity, but it impacts what my grandchildren will live like, possibly. Maybe what they do, where they go, how they'll live their lives. And it might just impact their eternity as well. So you see, the result of the impact of Christ on my life, on His Word in my life, impacts my present and my eternity, and their present and their eternity. Well, there's all kinds of different results that can happen. And I guess some of that will depend upon what kind of soil your life is. Then there's different kinds of responses, verse 16 through 18. Now, you should recall, I pointed out how, about the response of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and how these women refused to allow their society to limit them on their response to Christ. Now, they may have not done it the way that all of those people thought that they should have, but they heard the message of Jesus. They had met Him, and they committed their lives to Him. They refused to do the common and act like everyone else may have thought they should, but they gave themselves to the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus talks about the way they responded, and He talks about the way we respond to Him. And He does it by pointing out that a candle is to be put in a place that it can give light. And He gives us that expression, you don't put a candle underneath a bed or cover it with a basket, but you place it where it can provide light where that light's needed. And the way we respond to Jesus needs to be in a manner that allows others to see what He has done in us and for us. See, the impact of Christ isn't just for you. We are not to hide this marvelous truth of Christ as the Savior. Notice how Jesus states this. He said, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Because the way we hear will determine what we have in life and what we have in eternity. Note how he goes on in that verse. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." Now get that. That's talking about the present and eternity. If you don't hear what God gives you, you miss out on all that God has for you. If you close up what's been given to you, if you hide it, cover it with a bushel, put it under a bed, then friend, the world around you misses out on it too. Now, maybe these statements ought to help us a little bit, at least, about how we listen when we attend church or how we listen when we're praying. A lot of people don't hear anything. Now, as pastor, I really think I see some people who never hear a word. Now, you parents, just forgive me for a moment, okay? I watch some parents that allow their teenagers to lay their head on their shoulder and sleep. Now, I'd nod them on the head if they were mine. I mean, I just pop them on the head and say, "Get your head up." You know. Well, there's a couple reasons for it. You say, well, you know, they won't want to listen. No, but they can't listen when they're asleep. They might not want to listen. They still may get something if they're awake. Folks, if they can't stay awake at church, make them go to bed at night on Saturday. That might be helpful. Amazing, is it not? This is obvious stuff. And I see this, I see it more than once. And I bite my tongue. Sometimes I want to say, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma, wake them up. Now, if they're 5 years old, I can live with that. But when they're 15, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. They can't hear. And then I watch people who have blank stares. Man, you wonder, I wonder what drug they took before they came. You look at you, are you alive? I mean, do we need to get a doctor? I just, sometimes I look at that and they're in a trance. They can't be thinking that much about supper. You know, it's just not possible. But every now and then, I get to see somebody who gets it. Every now and then, somebody, it's like, you ever see the cartoons? You guys don't watch, you young folks haven't seen real cartoons. These things they have, they aren't cartoons. Remember the old cartoons where they have something where the individual's eyes would work like a cash register and you'd see little cash signs going off? Man, now those are cartoons, you know. Yeah. Man. It's almost like that sometimes. Boy, I see somebody and it's like, ah. And by the way, I watch it in the way some of you respond in the worship of what's taking place. It's not just that I've said something, but maybe a song. And I watched many of you this morning as you stood up. And some of you tonight as you held your hand up. And sometimes I look at you and say, man, you know, they got it. They figured something out for them. God gave them something that was so good to them that they just had to respond somehow. I like to say to you, take heed how you hear, because that just might determine your response. This is an eternal issue. And none of us are exempt from that principle of hearing. If you respond by shutting out the gospel of Jesus, then know that you'll face an eternal God who sent His eternal living and His eternal written word for our lives. There are different responses you can have. And it will always make an eternal difference for your soul. Jesus had impact upon lives. Impacted different kinds of people, and it produced different kinds of results, and folks had different kinds of responses. I wonder how Jesus has impacted you. Will His life melt the wax, or will it harden the clay where you're concerned? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to be here tonight. And thank You for Your grace. I pray that we would be people who hear Your word. May we really hear it, where it impacts our lives in such a way that the results will be maybe 30-fold fruit, maybe 60, maybe 100. But it will impact us in such a way that we will be servants of the Most High God. Thank You for these women, these individuals who served You. Thank You for showing us Your willingness to impact all kinds of lives. And thank You for letting us know that You want to impact our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand if you'd like?